Start your own radio show now and join our amazing radio family of fun and interesting talent. Be the radio star you've always wanted to be. Visit LATalkRadio.com or email info at LATalkRadio.com now and start your own show today.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, boys and girls. Welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, July 20th. Hi, Rachel.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our umpteenth show, actually. I don't know how many we've had over the years. I imagine I've met actually thousands of people on the show.
Wow.
Not even hundreds. You know, it has to be thousands. You know, you do 10 years. And
all of them were interesting.
Right. So, what can you do? You know, you figure about, there's like 50, okay, so 20 days a month times 12, we do 20.
Neither of us are great at
math. That's 240. So 240 shows that I did over 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Right?
That's a lot of shows.
Yeah. No, how did I figure that? I don't know. My math is not happening this morning, folks. So let's move on. OJ's up for a hearing. We'll get to that in a few minutes. I just wanted to let everybody know, all of Tori Schulman's fans who listened to the show in the past year and everything, you all know that Tori left to do a bigger gig.
Yes.
And that's why Rachel is here. One of the reasons Rachel is here, the main reason
is Tori is gone. I have big shoes to fill, but yes, Tori is on to...
Yeah,
next
so,
chapter.
So she kept it secret. Finally, she was able to release the news, and she posted it on Facebook today. And I guess she's going to be joining a daily show called Daily Blast Live. It premieres Monday, September 11th, and there's like, let's see, 3, 6, 8 people on the show.
That's awesome. Good for her.
But what I was surprised to find out, it's only a 30-minute show. How much are you going to get to talk with 8 people there?
Well, I mean, I've seen you and Tori talk. You guys talk about a lot of topics in a lot of minutes, I feel like.
No, but 30 minutes is not enough, I think, for 8 people.
But think about it. We live in such a fast-paced informational society. Like, we only need snippets
that's
of
true.
Information, I feel like, because that's all that we get on Twitter,
right.
Social media, just snippets of...
Yeah, and plus people don't have patience, really, for 1-2-hour shows. You know, I mean, you have Kelly Ripa and a couple of those, but that's about it.
Well, you know, think about our YouTube videos. Like, no one really watches a 5-minute YouTube video. Like,
right.
We cut them down to 1 minute, 30
right.
seconds even.
Right. Mm-hmm. Who's got the time, you know? But at any rate, I would imagine this is, I don't imagine. I know it's very exciting for her, exciting time. It's going to be on a network called Tegna. I never heard of that one before. They have about 36 markets.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I never heard of them, but what it means is that they're probably like an independent channels,
mm-hmm.
like Channel 5, Channel 9 that we have here.
Interesting.
Those are not affiliated with networks.
Right.
So they're going to be on independent stations.
They're independent networks that don't need no man.
Right.
Good for them. That's cool.
So we're going to find out. And they're saying they'll also stream it on Facebook Live and YouTube. So that would be fine.
I've heard of those places.
The amazing thing, folks, is that then they put the bios of each one.
But the most important bio.
The most important bio is Tori Schulman,
of course.
Because
we
love her.
But the second or third paragraph is probably the most important thing. Of
yeah. Look, I mean, she put her short bio and it says a stand-up comic and UCB improviser who is the pop culture correspondent.
But most importantly.
Fox LA and the co-host. And Sam in the Morning, airing on
go.
LA Talk Radio.
There you go.
You see? Mm-hmm. So you sense what's important to me which is a good thing. It means we're on the same wavelength. But I want to mention everybody would be honored
LA
to be
Talk
mentioned.
LA Talk Radio, where dreams
Tori,
begin.
If you're listening, thank you very much. It's really touching that you put it on. And also, I think it shows that she felt it was a big deal to be
here.
Yeah,
of course.
You know, and we thank her for that. She did a great job. And, of course, also led to our finding of Rachel Wolfson. And who happens to be okay? Do you want to tell people what your dad does?
Oh gosh,
Can you?
Of course.
Okay,
my mom. I had a conversation with
like
my mom
last night.
You posted
it on Facebook.
Of course, no. No reservations, but it's funny. I actually appreciate that, Sam. I called my mom last night, and she was like, "I was like, Mom, like, what are your comments about OJ?" And I quote, "I don't have time for OJ." We were just joking around, but
right.
She's like, it's for you to do whatever you want with it. And I was like, okay, Mom. My father is the district attorney of Las Vegas, if you've heard of the place.
Mm-hmm. We have. District attorney is a pretty big deal.
Right. So my mom was OJ Simpson's judge for the robbery case back 8 years ago or so. Or more, I forget what year happened.
Right.
And now she's no longer a judge, a practicing judge. She's private mediation, and my father is now the DA. So
Now, and that's interesting because let's see. So the DA, it's the same thing that what's the name of our? How did I space on his name for the district attorney for OJ? What was his name?
David
the,
Rogers.
No.
His attorney was named Yale Galanter.
No. The district attorney in the OJ trial.
Oh, the
Garcetti.
Okay.
Gil Garcetti. Okay.
Eric Garcetti.
Eric is his son.
Oh, okay.
Gil Garcetti was the DA.
Wow.
Yeah, we have a picture of him here. He's been to the station.
Okay.
After
you're talking about the murder trial.
Yes,
here.
The murder trial here. Yes, yeah. Yes, a long time ago. Mm-hmm. So,
and then Robert Shapiro is now Robert Kardashian.
Yeah, right. I know, but
OJ launched many careers.
So,
I
but your dad is the district attorney
currently.
For Clark County, right,
yes,
or whatever,
in Las Vegas,
and. And that's very cool. And I saw the video that you posted. And God, you guys look alike, right?
Oh yeah. Well, it's funny because
he's very handsome.
Thank you. Yeah. I will. I'll tell him that. No, I get. I used to think I look exactly like my mother, but now I'm starting to think, okay, I look like my father. But I'm a mixture.
Right.
50%. There's no doubt that I'm their daughter.
Right.
But I did convince my sister for a period of time she was adopted.
Oh my God, how traumatic!
But we look exactly alike.
Really.
All of us. So,
the trauma you've caused her.
I think I'm a pretty good salesperson, so
yeah, right.
You can convince her, your own sister. Who looks exactly like you.
Wow. So, I guess we are waiting for the parole board to decide on OJ today. You said it's going to be on like any minute? At 10 o'clock, right?
Yeah, we're going to find out pretty soon. But, I think there's a general consensus that we believe he's going to get out.
Right. That's what they're saying, right? That's what they're hinting at.
Yeah, and if he does get out, he has to spend 3 months in Nevada.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So until October.
Yeah.
Right.
So I have a spare room.
Oh, okay. You're inviting him to your house. To where the judge sent him to jail.
My sister said that. She's like, I got a spare room. Like, cool. I wouldn't advertise that per se, but if you maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. OJ is going to hit the Airbnb.
I mean, exactly.
Yeah.
OJ and Jay. I'm just wondering, what is he going to do? Like, what's the first. I need to know, if he doesn't already have reality cameras following him, I would, I want to know what his first meal is. Like, what is his first, where is he going to go? What is he going to do?
Really? So you're fascinated with him, though.
Who isn't? what?
Your mom is.
What do you do? No, my mom does not. I do not have time for OJ. My God.
And her mom sent OJ to prison, for those of you who don't know.
It's so funny.
Yeah, we're just continuing a conversation. But OJ is in jail, I guess, for kidnapping and armed robbery and things like that, right? Mm-hmm. So So he went to jail for 9 to 33 years. Mm-hmm. Now the 9 years are up. He's 70 years old.
Just about, yeah.
And you got to admit, he looks pretty good for 70.
Honestly,
wouldn't you say?
It seems as life begins at 70 for some people. Our president is 70. I mean, OJ could have a whole nother career.
Exactly.
He could go into politics. I mean, I hear Trump is looking for cabinet positions.
Oh, that he's perfect.
And the people that he's nominated are just about as qualified as OJ Simpson for some of these positions. You know, they just go in and kill departments. Like, it'd be perfect. Perfect. In fact, maybe he should be in charge of like family and planning or family housing and I don't know, something to do with family.
Wow.
Health and Human Services, OJ Simpson. I hear he's up for a new, he needs a job.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So they're showing a picture of the board, of the parole board. I guess there's seven people there. Mm-hmm. And it's by majority, I guess, right? So
there's actually, I put on my Facebook back. SNL did a parody skit about the jury selection process that my mom had to go through.
Right.
I put that up on my Facebook. It was a really, really funny skit just because, like, can you imagine what it was like to pick a jury for the second O.J. Simpson trial?
Oh, God,
like,
right.
Even the first one, because he was already a celebrity, but imagine going back again after, you know, like, how are you going to find people who don't know who he
exactly,
is,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
So...
Wow.
It was really funny. It's also,
I know.
It's available on Hulu. Just type in SNL OJ Simpson skit and
it should pop up.
It's pretty funny.
Hmm. Yeah. Somebody told me I say wow a lot and I need to stop that. But I keep saying that because I don't know how to express myself when I'm in awe, you know. And
tell them to say it to your face.
Well, they do. They do. It's people that care. But no, I realize that, and I try my best to say less of that, and maybe I'll replace it with something else, like, are you serious, which I do say sometimes,
mm-hmm.
or no kidding, or yeah. But interesting, it's so like, you know, wow, I think really...
That's amazing.
Expresses.
But then you're saying more words.
Right. And this is sort of like an expression.
It's only three letters.
Right. So I'll try not to be odd, but folks, the whole point of the show is I don't know anything about the guests other than one paragraph, like
right.
what they do. That's it. So we had a mentalist here the other day. I read mentalist, bam, let's book him. I don't do any research.
Mm-hmm.
So I get, so, and in order, I do that especially so I find out about them as the listeners find out about
right.
them. Right? Because if you already know something about him, you go, oh, so you're married with three kids. No, I don't want to know that. I want him to tell me.
Right.
So what happens is I discover a lot of very fascinating things. So the reaction is a wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but so for the critics, live with it. I'll try to do my best, but that's about it. You know, I mean, we talk the way we talk and... That's it. Did you ever try to focus on how you're talking and try not to say a word? It's the hardest thing.
It is really hard. My father, there I am saying, my father is very, not. I don't want to say critical in a sense, but he will notice even on stage or just in the past if I'm speaking in front of people that I will use a lot or like.
Right.
So he has a like-a-meter where, you know, so there's... And those are filler words. And my dad is an excellent public speaker. Both of my parents are. I think that's where I get that natural inclination to want to just get up and talk in front of people.
Right.
But I've noticed that if you slow it down and
right.
you think a little bit more about each word carefully, then there's no purpose for those filler words, is there?
That's true. I do say a lot because I hate leaving blank space here even
dead
for
air,
a split
for sure.
second.
Yep.
Although many people do it. They talk slower.
Right.
They take their time, and they don't feel that they have to fill. But it's not only a filler word, but I think also what it does is that it keeps other people from talking because
right.
you're like still, wait, I'm not done yet. Like, you know, you're mm-hmm. carrying the conversation. So maybe subconsciously that's what I do. I don't know. Many people do say a lot, and I do too on the show. But also I have to explain that I noticed that a lot with Israelis. It's sort of like almost imprinted in Hebrew where almost everybody's like, almost like every second word.
Yes, of course.
Right?
It's like your version of the like.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
So
when I watch TV and I'm watching people and even the people on TV say this, I'm like, okay, so this is like inevitable.
Well, for me, I think it's... I want to get better at it, because when you're on stage doing comedy, every word counts. And the point is to get to the punchline as quick as possible. So if you're replacing moments with or whatever, it's a distraction to the audience.
Right.
You lose them.
Right.
And I did an open mic the other day. I wrote stuff down that I wanted to talk about, and then as soon as I get on stage, you go blank, because that, you know, that's what happens,
right?
Even when I take a test. And it was just a bunch of this is not what I wanted to talk about. My father would be so disappointed with it.
Gotta be prepared. Wow, it must have been tough growing up with two very cultured parents.
It was interesting. I will say I was in trouble a lot.
Did they criticize you a lot? That's gotta be hard, right?
Yes.
Because parents criticize all the time, and I try not to do it, but I'm like, how can I not? I care about my kid.
Are you kidding? Did they criticize me? My mom's title of a profession was judge. Her job was literally to judge people. Okay?
Oh my God.
Right? So, right. And then my dad's job was literally to defend them.
Right.
I was never the one they were defending, though. It was me against them. No, but honestly, it was all out of love. I know that.
Right.
They did a good job with both my sister and I.
Right. We didn't end up
16 and pregnant or, you know, in prison yet. So, you know, they've done pretty all right, I would say, you know.
That's true.
Tell me
something. When it was marijuana was illegal in Vegas, didn't that create a problem for you and your parents? Did they know you were smoking?
Well, here's the thing. I didn't actually smoke until I left for college.
Oh.
So when I would come home, I mean, they knew I was using marijuana.
Right.
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 But
did that threaten their careers in any way?
We don't really talk about it.
Right.
But at the same time, I was a kid in college. You know, I had to live my life, and I knew at the end of the day, I just tried to be really discreet and careful and respectful, you know, while also, you know, remaining true to myself.
Yeah, right.
But the conversation went from yourself medicating to now they understand, I think, what this...
Why or...
Or not necessarily why, but just more about it as a medicine.
Mm.
And its uses, because there's more discussion and education about it,
right,
you know?
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. You see, the thing is that people don't realize not everybody sits around with a group of people and smokes pot to party.
Right.
Many people, maybe even most users, do self-medicate. It makes you feel better. It's easier to 100%. Deal with certain things.
Well, I think for them, it was more of they saw that, I think in their minds, there was a little bit of that's what they thought I was doing. But they also saw that I was finishing my master's degree, you know, working at a marketing job. You know, I also worked at a restaurant. So I was out there hustling. I also wasn't going out and drinking. I never had a problem with any other drugs or substances. And that they knew I was a good kid. And my dad's thing always was back is, you know, if you weren't a good kid, you know, it would be different, but they know.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a good
kid, and you're responsible, and you're not going to risk their reputation and so forth.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, that's interesting, you know, because I remember when I was young, my parents were totally against drugs. I think for them, marijuana was in the same category as heroin.
It is, yeah.
Because drugs is drugs, you know. Drugs is drugs. And today, they're like, oh, bring us some. You know, it sounds great.
Exactly.
You know, you go into the dispensaries, you see these older people coming in, and you go, my God.
Well,
you know?
It's just so funny because it's think about it. When you're younger, anytime you tell someone not to do something or how bad it is, there's always that lingering curiosity of what's so bad about it. Like, why?
Right.
You know, or even like when someone talks so badly about one particular thing or one person or what, and like, you know, you start to get curious about it, right? Like, what? I want to know why. You know, what is the truth behind this? So I think there's that, you know, there's a lot of that happening. Plus, fighting back to that propaganda that's still out there, there's dispensaries and brands popping up out of nowhere. So it's like, where does that leave you in your moral, you know, where do you, you know, it's a inner conflict for some people, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they don't know. But that's the thing. I'm thinking alcohol, no. Marijuana works for me. It works with my chemistry. So why would I? And I'm happy that it's that way. Because if I have to have my poison, I'd rather it be marijuana than alcohol.
We will start to see entire industries changing, specifically probably in the pharmaceutical industry, with more cannabis legalization happening. I think they just decriminalized it today in New Hampshire. I believe they signed. So as time goes on and as laws start to lax and whatnot, I mean, we'll see more people using CBD and THC for whatever they want.
Right. And you don't have to smoke it. Today, there's so many ways to apply.
Well, exactly. Like this morning, you know, people have gummy vites. They have vitamins in the form of gummies. I take CBD gummy vites. So they don't. It doesn't get me stoned. It doesn't get me high. But it just provides the medicinal effect, the medicinal component of the plant, so that I'm getting my anti-anxiety, my anti-inflammatory, whatever it is that I'm
That's
using
amazing.
For.
Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah.
But I also did smoke a joint.
Yeah.
Maybe a now, couple.
But days. It's funny that you have anxiety, yet you don't get anxious from smoking. It does the opposite for you, where many people get anxiety
here's
smoking.
The thing. I get a lot of feedback on my cannabis account, because people do see, and that was one of the things why I wanted to come out and be such an advocate for it, because I don't know. If you don't know me looking off the street, I think we talked about this before, my friends are like, that's not true. But you may not assume that I smoke weed or I, you know, I'm a cannabis consumer or whatnot. So I get a lot of, so when I took ownership and I'm like, this is who I am. And I was honest. I was like, I struggled with anxiety and depression my entire life. And I was on pharmaceuticals from age 5 until age 24, basically. And then I was just fed up with like the treatment plan I was being given, the medications I were taking weren't working. And I didn't feel good about myself or, you know, my mental health state. And I was in college and I was like, you know what, I'm my own person. I'm an adult. I'm the one who's going to be responsible for this. Like, I need to find out and do my research and do what is best for me, regardless of how controversial it may seem to other people, including my family.
Right.
Because that's just what you got to do. Like, I live to please my parents, like every person does, right? And they are two of the most smartest people that I know, you know, and that a lot of people know. So I took ownership of my mental health. I decided, okay, I'm going to try a more natural plan with the guidance of doctors, because I always recommend treat everything as a medicine, including cannabis.
Right.
And so I worked to transition off the pharmaceuticals, treated, you know, whatever I needed with cannabis, working out, healthy diet, found my own regimen that worked for me. And that's what you got to do. I mean, and then people will ask me, they're like, how do you, like, I suffer from anxiety, you know, like, sometimes when I smoke, it makes it worse. But I'm like, of course, you're in a place where cannabis probably isn't legal. So the access to the medicine that you have, you don't know what you're consuming. It's like going into a CVS with a stomach ache and just taking whatever off the shelf and hoping that it works.
That's true.
And so also when I lived in Florida, which is where I, you know, I smoked weed in Florida, and who knows, and when you're smoking cannabis or consuming it in a place that isn't legal, the stuff that you're consuming. I mean, there's just so many chemicals. You don't know where it's coming from, who's producing it, what they're using. And people don't care. They will still sell you bad products.
Right. And you'll buy anything just to get it.
So I always say, you know, do your research. Approach cannabis like any other medical ailment. If you can get access to a dispensary, like, you know, indica versus sativa, whatever, you'll know certain, you know, if I'm an anxious person, I'm not going to smoke sativa dominance or because that's going to trigger my anxiety.
Wow, that's
just
interesting.
Like, but you have to, you know, you have to do your own research. You have to educate yourself. You have to know what really works for you.
Right.
And that's how I say to approach it.
That's interesting. Yeah. To me, they all seem the same, you know. So, I mean,
then, you know, think about it. Also, alcohol. Different types of alcohol affect differently, and some people don't approach it like that. And I think that's almost a smarter way to approach drinking, to almost guarantee a better night out, because like tequila is almost an upper. Like tequila puts you in a good mood or whatever, and then like wine will bring you down.
Right.
You know, so it's like, I feel like it's not about getting fucked up. And if that's the point, you're going to get fucked up. But if you want to have a good time, if you want to relax, if you're just like, I want to have a good night, approach it differently.
Yeah,
and maybe,
I agree.
You know?
I agree. My point, though, is that when you have smoked for many years like I have, I don't feel the difference between indica and sativa. To me, they all affect me the same.
True.
They both make me like up and awake and stuff. Even the strongest indica.
Do you suffer from anxiety or anything?
No,
like that?
No. Depression, though, but I'm taking medication for
right.
it.
Right. But that's maybe why. That might be why you don't experience that. Because you also have...
The medication's doing shit to my head, too. I know.
Right.
I know. I, in fact, I remember that after I started taking medication, I realized with some meds, I wasn't getting as high as I used to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe that's one of the reasons also. But I think it's also because your body just gets so used to it. It doesn't really matter, sativa, indica, whatever.
I feel the same. For people, if they're interested in finding out more about weed, cannabis, marijuana, whatever you want to do, because there is... You're not going to learn about it unless you go and find the research yourself. I mean,
that's
unless
true.
You look it up yourself. And there's so many great places to find cannabis information or whatever. And do the research. Find out what cannabis does to your body. Understand
right.
from a science level what this amazing plant does. And it will help you understand what's happening to you. You know, how to approach it if you go to a dispensary. And it just creates a better understanding. And it eliminates that intimidation and taboo, because like it's just crazy to me. In the future, I think people will look back and be like, there was a time where they were like, see that plant right there, you can't use it, it's illegal.
We gotta destroy all those plants. Like, they're so important. We have to actually send cops and collect all these huge plants and burn them because because they're evil. I know. I know, you're right. People will look at it like that at one point.
Just the same way I feel like they'll look at be like, you know, those two gay people, they couldn't get married. Like, we'll think that that's bizarre. Like, just people not being able, because someone else said, you know, to me, like, it's just like back when women couldn't vote. Like, that wasn't that long ago that women couldn't vote. And to now, it's like, that's the most ridiculous thing. You know what I mean? For me.
I know.
You're
I know.
Like, I can't believe they let women vote, you know? I know. Sometimes when my boyfriend and I are trying to decide dinner, it's like neither of us can come up with anything. I'm like, why did they even give me an option?
Yeah, right? Make the decision for me.
Honestly.
Well, that's funny. So, yeah, so that's OJ. And I guess we're going to find out. Do you want to bring up the news here? It's probably going to take, I mean, they're saying 30 to 45 minutes of questioning. So that's going to be a while. Maybe by the end of the show, we'll know. But even after that, I don't think they're going to decide right away, Rachel, do you? They're probably going to have to sit together and talk about it before.
I mean, there's going to be there's probably a hearing that's occurring as we speak.
I'm sure. There is right now. They're saying Simpson will speak and answer questions from the parole board via video conference for the first 30 to 45 minutes.
Wow.
He must get a majority votes from the 6 parole board commissioners to receive parole. If paroled, he could be released as early as October.
Wow. Yep. Yeah.
He's in a medium security prison right now, which is interesting. I guess he's not that big a risk. But they're saying that they haven't heard much from him at the correctional, at the Department of Corrections. So they're saying, I guess he stayed out of trouble there. And he managed to...
Well, it's just so interesting. We live in the era of fake news. And yesterday I jokingly put up this article because the Daily Mail and the New York Post and whatever put up this article that OJ was like masturbating in front of a correctional officer. And then there was this other one about him stealing, like being a part of this like cookie string, sting, in inside prison. And I just, you know, and that is what we were kind of talking about yesterday. We live in this era of like, just like... fake news and, you know, coincidentally his parole hearing is today. And then all of a sudden this week, these two stories, you know, when all along, if he was a part of this, if he was this cookie monster, we would have heard about, you know?
Right, so. Exactly. And yeah, I mean,
and like,
that's why
the
you
thing
know
is
right
like,
away.
By no means am I defending OJ, right? Like, I, you know, stay there for the rest of your life. But what I'm saying is like, he did his time, if, you know, and if that's a fake, that shouldn't be happening if it's not true.
Right.
You know, it just...
Yeah. And besides, if he was caught masturbating, so what? Is that like illegal?
I thought prison was the place to masturbate.
Right. What else can you fucking do, you know?
I know. I just, you know, that's so funny. Someone said that on my Instagram.
Prison
yesterday.
Is so terrible, man. I can't imagine.
I mean, it seems honestly like a great, like an all inclusive resort.
In a way, right? But you know what? You better kill me than send me to prison. I feel that way.
I'll tell OJ.
Yeah, tell him. Tell a judge, whatever. I hope I never get in trouble, my God. Not if I can help it, I won't.
Well, we know a couple good lawyers.
Yeah, that's true, right?
They can't help here.
I'm well connected.
Well, maybe we should start having more lawyers on the show. Just all types, divorce, criminal. You know, just all one for every possible crime we could get in trouble for.
I know. I'm still waiting for the tickets for the Magic Castle. Did they contact you at all?
Oh, I texted them. I mean, I messaged. Mysterian,
right? Yeah.
Any way we can come see you Friday night? I said yes. I said I was going to bring my man. He said he's got my name already. Early show. Come for the 6:30.
Really?
Or it's 7:15.
So you got one. Okay. So what I'll do is I'll take his number from you.
I don't have his number, but I can get it.
Or I can probably get. Well, no. I mean, I went through the publicist, and he's like, you have to talk to them.
Oh.
I'm like, wow, you know. So.
Well, if you feel we're going Friday.
No, well, I'm gonna go. I want to make sure I'm going.
I'm dying to see them.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
I know, and being at the Magic Castle is an honor.
I've never been.
I know. So I'm going
to
make sure that I get
a
couple
tickets.
I'm going
to have to put on like a skirt or something.
Right. Can you handle it?
I don't know.
Can you stand it?
I have to emotionally prepare to wear like dresses and skirts. I mean, I know once I'm, it's kind of like working out for me. Like once I'm in it, I feel great or whatever, but it's just the process getting there, putting on the make. I hate it. I'm like an old.
You don't like it, but you like it once you're there, right?
That or
I mean, you posted that hot picture, right?
But if I don't have to do it myself,
right?
If someone just comes and picks it out and puts my hair and makeup together for me, fine.
Then
but
you're good.
I just, the last thing I want to do is wake up and paint my face.
Wow.
I have no makeup
on. Yeah, so you don't. Okay, so I see. So you don't.
I'm like a tomboy at
heart. No, that's true, because I think some women actually enjoy the process and then they're like
that's what I'm saying. It's a process. If you have to refer to it as a process, where's the fun in that term? Right?
I guess it's a process. But if you get the results you want, then maybe it's worth it, you know? Yeah. Some women, I'm amazed at how much makeup they put on every day. And I'm like, this is too much, you know? I mean, can you, like, tone down on it's like work paint,
I mean, it takes, like, I did a shoot yesterday with my friend, and she was putting makeup on, and she was saying, you know, like, this is why I don't like it, because it takes time.
Right.
It takes each little thing. I'm like, it's just, I don't have time for that.
Right. That's why modeling sucks. You know, many people say it's not a fun job being a model, for example, you know, because they sit around all the time. They have to be in poses that are not comfortable. And
I mean, actually, that does sound ideal for me.
Really? Yeah, you would like that?
Just to sit around and get my picture taken. As long as I don't have to move much.
Right.
You know?
I know.
And if I'm making money.
We talk
not,
like
you know?
Fucking potheads, you know? One thing about people that smoke, you know, when you have to do a lot of things, it's too much, you know, right? You
gotta. Well, we just want to keep it simple,
right? And we postpone things we don't like to do, but I think many people do that too, you know. I just know that I don't want to exert a lot of energy when I'm high. I just don't.
Or when you're hot.
Yeah, when I'm hot. Yeah, because the heat and high don't go together for me. You know, I mean, I'm like, get me out of this heat. That's why I totally changed my mind about Burning Man. I'm like, I can't even sleep in my house without the air conditioning because it's broken for 2 days. I can't sleep in the house because it's so warm. I'm like, yeah, I'll be outside in the desert in 115 degrees with sand and nothing else. Sure.
Yeah.
I'll take that free time and go somewhere else like 100%. Hawaii or something, you know.
Ooh, I want to go to Hawaii.
Right?
Yeah.
Hawaii is amazing, and I haven't been in a long time.
Should we do our next talk radio?
Yeah, you want to do the show from there? You know, they used to do that sometimes with shows on radio. They would go like to Vegas or something. Howard Stern did that, broadcast from there. People would go to...
Well, if he can't go, he can send us.
Yeah, no. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can go. We can do shows from there. Why not? Mm-hmm. That would be a great idea. We'll rent a studio there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get sponsored.
We'll think about it. we can do a lot of things.
Get some people from the mainland on the show. Tell us about your life, your dreams, your hopes.
I know. Wouldn't you love to live in Hawaii? I mean, it sounds amazing, you know.
I would, you know, I would be comfortable doing weekends in Hawaii, weekdays.
Right.
Somewhere else.
Yeah. I know, but once you're there, you're there.
I had to live in Hawaii.
I think
I would.
Because you're on a small island, it feels maybe constraining after a while, you know?
Yeah, you get island fever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's
probably.
Thing.
Yeah, that's what I also say about many destinations. You know, you go.
You can't just pick up and go on a road trip.
Yeah. You know, you go on. When you travel, then you know that as a tourist, you love every place you go. And you're like, God, I would live here. But the reality is, mm-hmm. it's a destination. It's a vacation destination for you. Of course, you're going to enjoy yourself.
Right.
You know.
People would say that when I used to live in Florida and people would come visit me in Boca. They'd be like, oh, my gosh, you live where people vacation. And I'm like, try living here. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? All the time.
Right.
It's just, it's a hard, I mean, it's a lifestyle that in your 20s you shouldn't get used to.
That's true.
Just retiring, and really.
Yeah, I know. And Vegas is a lot like that, too.
It is, but it also has that element of hustle that I think, you know, Florida doesn't necessarily have.
That's
except
true.
For in Miami, but it's a different type of hustle there.
Right,
it's
right.
It's more like a like an island hustle.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Maybe later.
But I mean, more, you know, you live in a place that's a tourist destination.
Right.
And life is different there. You
I
know?
Feel I've lived in a lot of tourist destinations, so I feel like my scope of living has been, I don't know, skewed. And, but I've also, you know, but at the same time, like, I've lived in a lot of places and, like, places that aren't, like, Putney, Vermont. Provo, Utah.
Yeah, those are,
these
small
are not
places,
technically,
right?
I mean, depending on who you ask, not destinations.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, the one of the people that are bigger than God is Ryan Seacrest, and
I've
he's returning to host American Idol. I guess ABC is picking it up after Fox dumped it in 2016. And so he signed up. And they announced it, Kelly Ripa announced it, since he's doing the show with her now, right?
Who is
Ryan Seacrest and Kelly
Ripa,
right. They do a show together, Live with Kelly and Ryan. I guess he replaced Strahan, or who was it before that? Whatever his name was.
I don't know.
But at any rate, he's going to be back as though he doesn't have enough to do as it is. This man is the busiest man in entertainment, makes probably like more money than all of us put together.
100%.
And he still needs to go back to American Idol and do this. My question is this. How great did you have to be in a previous fucking life to get such a life where everything is there for you? You know what I'm saying? I mean, look, you can say, okay, he worked hard for it many years. Okay, I get that. But a lot of people do.
Yeah.
But this has to do with your fate, mm-hmm. in your life path, you know? It's like somebody tried to test him by, look, let's give you all this shit here, all the success in the world, let's see how you deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably his path or mm-hmm. something, right?
He's
but
done
my
really
God,
well.
How can you be like a bigger star than Ryan Seacrest right now? And he appeals to many different audiences. I think that's a secret.
Yeah.
You know, young people
it's the
like
Seacrest.
Him. Yeah, the secret. But so good for him. What can I say?
He's responsible for the Kardashians.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He is?
I think he's the executive. Isn't he the executive producer for their show?
I don't know.
Pretty sure. Okay. I mean, the Kardashians are responsible for the Kardashians.
I know. I was trying to tell my parents yesterday about Caitlyn Jenner.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to start the story with the Kardashians and go to Bruce Jenner as the Olympian. And I said, so you guys know the Kardashians, right? I mean, you watch Israeli TV, but I'm sure, but there's a lot of pop culture.
Is there an Israeli version of family?
The Kardashians? Sometimes they come and go.
Do they have reality TV show like ours?
They do. Yeah, they have everything there. Yeah, they have everything.
I want to watch The Real Housewives of Israel.
Yeah, right.
The Real Housewives of Tel Aviv.
They have like the nanny, and they have like life swap and wife swapping and all that stuff. You know.
That's funny.
Yeah, I know. But so yeah, so I tried to explain the Kardashians to them, and I said, you know, Kim Kardashian, sex tape, blah blah blah, and then the whole family, the father was OJ's attorney, and now they're the biggest thing, and then Bruce Jenner is with their mother, and he becomes a woman. I mean, think about the story. This is like soap opera, right? Mm-hmm. As I'm telling it, but that's the way it happened.
Yeah.
And then I showed them pictures of him before and after. And they're like, wow, they're blown away. I told them, I said, you guys are the only ones in the world who don't know who the Kardashians are.
In so ancient Israel.
Yeah.
You have to travel across the world to the desert of like our ancestors.
Yeah, I know. To find
have you heard of these people?
Right.
That's funny.
So this is interesting, and this happened in Israel, actually, but this is an Israeli Christian man, not a Jewish man, is accused of stabbing his teenage daughter to death because he didn't approve of her relationship with a Muslim man.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to
How
that?
How many times Try, did he stab her?
Let me think. Let me see, rather. I don't think they said it here. He
couldn't have just pulled
three
her
times. Three times.
He couldn't have
picked
just
up a knife, stabbed
had a
her three
conversation
times.
With her?
Well, they did. They did. Nothing would help. And then she was 17 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing is this. Look, we're sitting here. We try to be like liberal-minded, open-minded and stuff. But think where these people come from, okay? Mm-hmm. And they live with Muslims. They know what it means to live with Muslims that mm-hmm. hate you. So it's so then, you know, she comes home. She, you know, she brings home the Muslim guy. Then she comes. So she moves out because she felt threatened by her own family. So she moves out. Moves out and moves in with her boyfriend and his mother. So now the mother intervenes for the girl. His mother intervenes mm-hmm. for the girl, blah, blah, blah. The father comes to the house, begins to threaten her and slap her,
mm-hmm.
right? And then he tells her this. He says, just like I sat in jail, I'm ready to sit in jail my entire life. I don't care, he said. The thing is this. Then she comes and she tells him she's converting to Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is like a knife through somebody's heart,
yeah.
you know? Now, look, I'm not here to say right or wrong, okay? I'm just trying to understand what he felt when this happened. Because if this happened to me, I would be pretty devastated. If my Jewish daughter mm-hmm. dated a Muslim, no, I would not be open-minded about it at all.
Why?
Because they hate us.
Not all
They're
of them.
Raised to hate. Well, did you read in the Quran? No,
I have
the
Muslim,
Jews are like
I have Muslim friends that don't hate Jewish people.
Okay,
I understand where you're coming
but
from.
But
I think this is my personal opinion about right. that. I'm
well in Israel. They are. Let's say in Israel. Okay,
I can't generalize an entire religion or culture.
True,
because as a Jew, that happened to us back in the day with the Nazis in Germany, and I think us as Americans and us as Jewish people have a responsibility because I think, yes, there are bad Muslims. There are bad Christians. There are bad Jews. Not that many bad Jews, but there are bad Mormons. There are bad people everywhere. And I do think that this might sound controversial, but I think that the way the anti-Muslim propaganda that is out there is very similar to the anti-Jewish propaganda that was out there back in the 1940s when Germany and, you know, World War II with the Holocaust. And I do think that there is an element of that happening in our world where an entire culture and religion, because of a few, because right. I get it. In the Middle East, they are teaching Muslims to hate Jews. And I think vice
and
versa.
Christians, I mean,
and Christians and whatever.
But everybody's but not Muslim.
But that is a sect of extremism. Not. I have Muslim friends. One of my very best friends out here is
Do
from
you
Iraq.
Really think so?
100%.
Okay, so
but
let's.
But I think, here's the thing. The media, of course, will only show you certain, they're not going to show you happy stories. I mean, there are happy stories about Muslim people because there are good Muslims.
Absolutely.
Out there, right?
Absolutely.
But
there
I
are.
Think there is, there are, there is a culture in the Middle East that is teaching, breeding hate. Hate breeds hate.
I mean, right? Look, Muslims,
but we have a responsibility to make sure that not that we can't generalize an entire culture or religion. It's not fair.
But nobody's generalizing here. What I think we're saying is, look, in my experience,
but when you say
I grew up
100%, and your experience is true to your experience, of course,
right.
And I'm not taking away that.
So that's, but that's what I said. I was trying to explain.
We can't say Muslims, it's not a fair statement to say Muslims hate Jews. I think it's more accurate to say there are a group, extreme Muslims.
Do you think there are more people that hate Jews, more Muslims that don't hate Jews than Muslims that hate Jews? Is that what you feel?
I feel.
You're saying the majority do not.
Isn't Islam one of the biggest religions
yes,
in the world?
Yes, 1.5 billion.
I would be curious in 1.5 billion what the statistic of extreme Muslims are.
But I'm not talking about extreme.
I'm talking about Sharia law.
Everybody that subscribes to Sharia law, and that's most Muslims.
But at the same time, like
they
Orthodox,
treat women like shit.
Of course,
I mean, right?
Of course.
Okay.
That extreme. But there are also Orthodox Jews. There are conservative evangelical Christians. Like
okay.
How I look at extreme Muslims is how I look at the redneck Trump supporters.
I know, and
Christians.
I think that's a mistake.
And
I think that's a mistake
to compare
to
both of them.
Yes, and,
I think
and
it's
also
the same.
to compare what's going on today with what happened before the Holocaust.
I don't know. I went to college and I met a lot of different people from different cultures, and I know I have Muslim friends. I know a lot of Muslim people. I had a group. In college, I was really close with a group of Saudi Arabian guys who literally took me under my wing. Like, they were big brothers to me, treated me like a fucking princess, you know, and nothing more than just wanted to be my friend and have a good time and have a laugh.
Okay.
To the point where when they would be, like, my sister went to college in San Francisco, and their brothers or cousins went to college in San Francisco, and they became friends. And, like,
right.
So
would you say your experience is limited, though, to Muslims in the United States?
Muslims in the United States who were born in their country.
Okay, but they're here, right? They're here.
They're back and forth.
Right, but the thing. Okay, but they live here, right?
No, they're back. But some of them are back in Saudi Arabia.
Right, and when they're there, do they practice their religion? Or are they pretty
secular?
They
are religious. They are religious.
Okay.
They don't wear. I mean, they. But here's the thing.
Right.
I think that there is an element like. Yes, there's that, but people who are Muslim also have their own relationship with the religion we pick pieces from religion that we like. Like our lovely guest the other day, who was a beautiful Orthodox Jewish woman, right?
Right,
and
right.
She had a career.
Right.
Most Orthodox women, you would probably find, don't have careers of
right,
their own.
Right.
Even if they wanted to, their husbands probably wouldn't support it because
right.
their job is to be a mom and a wife.
Right,
and that's
but
it.
Maybe they choose to.
But that's what I'm saying is in her mind, or
yeah.
maybe they choose. She took pieces of the religion that work for her, that
right,
speak
right.
to her,
right.
and that she interprets back that she's going to teach people. I think that because I think that that's what people do. They take what works for them and then they to keep them sleeping at night.
Okay.
Whatever works for them.
All right.
But I understand what you're saying because your experience in Israel, you probably encountered people, you know, you probably lived in a
I mean,
what
well, but
knows?
But how much do you need more than the fact that you have millions, hundreds of millions of Arabs that are trying to kill you and destroy you, okay? So, yes, I mean, so you know, call me racist or whatever. But the thing is that in my experience, Muslims hate me and my people, and thus I stay away from them.
I think it's more accurate to say that there are Muslims.
But here, mm-hmm. All I'm saying to you is this. Look, there are. I agree with you. I'm not. But they're all in the United States.
There are also,
anywhere else in the world,
there are
that's
also,
not true.
But also, you hear stories about Muslims and Jews in Israel working together.
How many? Very few.
I can't give you...
No, very few.
There are stories of it, and they're working to create the conversation, because at the end of the day, we can't keep hating each other. We have those people who are old and are you know, and this conversation right here does not help create peace.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Oh, so you're saying that if
But here's the thing that also.
But let me ask you something about Hamas, okay? Because we're talking about Muslims that.
100%.
You know, okay. Do you think you can sit down and talk to them?
No.
Okay.
That's the thing.
So now, but not only Muslims, but with the Arabs, let me give you. So, okay, I'll tell you this. Not just Hamas. Arabs in general.
Yeah.
Okay, Iran, Saudi Arabia, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
All these countries.
Yeah.
Okay, if Israel laid down its arms, what would happen?
But here's what I'm saying. That's why, for me, and this is also controversial, I'm not the religious part of religion is what I don't like, because it's a separation.
Right.
It's saying if you don't believe what I believe, you are wrong.
Right. But what I'm saying is, if your religion tells you that you need to kill Jews, something's wrong with your religion. And I'm telling you, and we're out of time, but listen.
If your religion, but that's not a religion. That's not, I mean, it is a religion, but that's not the, that is where religion goes bad. And that's what I don't like.
Okay, but if you have a religion that goes bad.
And that's why I feel there's a conflict when you run a country on a religion. And it shouldn't be. That's why church.
No, absolutely. And so let's continue this conversation, because we're totally fucking out of time. But great conversation that we started, and we'll continue with that. And this is something that I always had an argument with Tori about, which is a good thing. Because, you see, arguing is not fighting. Arguments are things that people do in court. You have an argument, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Things like that. So,
what would Tori say?
Tori is totally on your end, on your side, of course. You're both young women that are liberal, that live in California. I know that. I know what I'm dealing with. But that's okay, because somebody's got to speak for the other side, mm-hmm. too. And so we'll continue our experience. And one thing we didn't do with Tori, we never got around to, is to actually bring the Quran here. And I think I want to do it, or at least find some passages
I don't think
that strengthen what I say.
But I don't think the Quran has, I don't think it preaches hate.
You think so?
I don't.
Okay, so I'll bring you some things and we'll see about that.
Okay?
Okay. All right. Anyway, everybody, thank you all for joining us. We always appreciate. Tomorrow we're going to talk more about cannabis,
Woo!
Right?
Yes.
Tomorrow... you're going to bring your friends?
Yes, my friends.
And we're going to talk about cannabis law.
Attorneys.
Yeah, cannabis law and everything. So as we promised, once Rachel joined us, the show is going to go green. Thank you all for joining us and see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.